Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In all circumstances, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. At the beginning of time, God created the world and pronounced it good, created us as human beings and pronounced us very good. And the response to this goodness must be gratitude. A lot of the times we don't focus enough on gratitude, but it's supposed to be one of the fundamental first reactions we have to God, to the gift of life, to so many gifts with which he fulfills us every day. But a lot of times that's not our attitude. A lot of the times we complain when we need something, but we don't give thanks adequately when we receive what we need. Today's gospel passage is one of the more important ones, I think, in St. Luke's gospel to help us live our Christian faith well. 10 lepers. So not only did they have bacteria eating up their flesh and bones, as disgusting as that is, not only did it lead to a tremendous stench that would nauseate those who had leprosy, but it led to their being perpetually quarantined, cast outside, couldn't get within 50 feet of somebody else without crying out, "Unclean! Unclean!" The only people with whom they could have any communion whatsoever were other lepers, who, like them, were suffering far more than physical problems, but also the psychological and spiritual problems that would come from having to be ostracized. They couldn't go to the synagogue to pray. They couldn't go to the temple to pray. Totally cut off. So they were good screamers. They had to be, shouting out "unclean." And when Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Nobody else had pity on him. Everybody else was afraid of them. They were treated 10 times worse than we treat those who might have Ebola today. We don't even want to get anywhere close to the same continent. Jesus did have pity. He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." He was giving him an act of faith to start walking as if they were healed along the roads that everybody else walks. And they did. And along the way, all 10 were healed. I don't think it's possible to give an analogy of what that would be like to have leprosy, to have bacteria eating you alive, the stench, the emotional and spiritual pain, and then all of a sudden as you're walking, you notice you're totally healed. What would be the reaction of most people in a circumstance like that? Absolute jubilation. But if we're sad, there's somebody that we need to thank. But 9 out of the 10 didn't. Only 1 ran back to Jesus. And it says, he fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him, crying out in a loud voice, glorifying God. In the text notes, this man was a Samaritan. To use the word Samaritan would mean the total outside loser scumbag, the one that everybody hated, the one against whom Jews had centuries of dispute, the real loser. He was the only one who came back. And what we find in that scene is Jesus had a gift far greater in store to give than the gift of the incredible healing of leprosy. He wanted to give the gift of salvation by faith. But in order to receive those greater gifts, we have to open ourselves up to receive them through thanksgiving. It was only this one who was gratitude, who was grateful, who was able to receive that gift. For us as Christians, everything we do is supposed to be marked by thanksgiving. The very Eucharist we celebrate is from the Greek word for thanksgiving. It's supposed to inundate all we are. In all circumstances, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In the middle of Mass, we say, lift up your hearts. We've lifted them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. And then we go on to say that it's right and just always and everywhere to give God thanks and praise. We say that on good days and bad days. We say that at weddings. We say it at funerals. We say it during the Easter season. We say it during Lent. In all circumstances, it's right to give God thanks and praise. But a lot of the times, we Christians, who have a far greater reason to thank God than even the Jews did, we come back less than Samaritans to say thanks to God. We sometimes obsess about what we don't have rather than what we do. And as a result, we complain more than we thank. And it totally impacts our personality. What are the reasons that we have for thanksgiving? You know, I often give penances when people confess that they've been complaining, that they've been filled with a real sort of negative spirit and things. I'll give them, I want you to pray pure thanksgiving for 10 minutes, thanking God for all the gifts of your life. And if you're struggling to come up with things to name, just start with your right hand. You'll have 25 things to thank God for your right hand. Not to mention for everything else that's working. Not to mention for your family. Not to mention for your teachers. Not to mention for your gift of health. Not to mention for the bright days. Not to mention for the rain so that your garden will grow. We've got so many opportunities to give thanks. But a lot of the times we don't start there. In response to our psalm today, we have our great reason for thanksgiving. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I have it all. When we really recognize that because the Lord is our shepherd, we're loaded. We're the richest people in the world. We ought to be the happiest people in the world, and we must be the most grateful people in the world. But how often do we turn and say, Lord, I thank you for this dark valley, because I know that when I'm walking through this dark valley, you're with me with your rod and your staff to comfort me. Thank you so that I can be even more grateful for your presence, because it's here where I know I need you more than when I'm not walking through a dark valley. Because of the presence of the Lord, we should always be giving thanks. In today's first reading from St. Paul's letter to Titus, he describes how we once were. We were once foolish, disobedient, deluded, slaves to various desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful ourselves and hating one another. But from that spiritual leprosy, the Lord cured us. But when the kindness and generous love of God our Savior appeared, not because of any righteous deeds we had done, but because of His mercy, He saved us through the bath of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He richly poured out to us through Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by His grace and become heirs and hope of eternal life. What an unbelievable gift that the Lord's given to us. And it should fill us with a perpetual song of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the characteristic attitude of Christians. And it's meant to be so strong that it'll last even when people are threatening to kill us. That's what we see in the life of St. Josaphat, whom the church celebrates today. He was younger than I was when he was martyred as a bishop of Polotsk. He was a young Ukrainian Orthodox. But he was touched by this desire for Christian unity after the Treaty of Brest-Litovsk. He became a Ruthenian Catholic monk. And eventually, because of his holiness and because of how bright he was named a very young bishop. And his desire as that bishop was to bring the Ukrainian Orthodox back into communion with the Catholic Church, and he succeeded. We call them today the Ukrainian Uniates, those who have come back into communion. And they're suffering today in the Ukraine because of not only Vladimir Putin, but also because of the co-opted Russian Orthodox Church. Last month in the Synod, it was outrageous. Pope Francis had, as an ecumenical gesture, allowed one of the metropolitans of the Russian Orthodox Church to go participate in the Synod on the family. And in the middle of that, this metropolitan got up, and rather than speaking about the family at all, he started to attack the Ukrainian Catholic Church. Cardinal Dolan from New York immediately pulled the present patriarch, who's again my age, great leader, and had him on his radio program for Sirius Catholic Radio just to try to fix the whole problem. But nevertheless, at 43 years old, St. Joseph, at whom we celebrate today, having brought his church back into union with Roman Catholicism, was suffering because of the Orthodox. And one day they came to his residence as he was arriving back, and they started shouting, "Kill the Papist! Kill the Papist!" It would have been very easy for St. Joseph to complain. Heck, all he was trying to do was God's will, prayed for by Jesus during the Last Supper, that we all might be one. He would have had plenty of reasons to squawk that if he were doing the Lord's will, it should have all been smooth sailing, but it wasn't. He suffered tremendously. And he suffered even martyrdom for the sake of it. But his happiness was not eliminated. His happiness was fulfilled. As now we joined the incredible felicity of the saints. Great lessons for us. We might receive bad diagnoses. Thank God. We might be having trouble in our family. Thank God. We might be experiencing a perfect storm of difficulties. Thank God. Not necessarily for the difficulties themselves, or for the bad diagnosis, or for the problems. Because in that circumstance, God's going to be with us. And it's for that reason why we should be always grateful. Because if we stack all the problems of the world up on this side, and God on this side, we're winners. That's why, in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. As we enter into the greatest way, we say thanks to God. We ask, through the intercession of St. Josephat, to do it in such a way that this thanksgiving will never be extinguished, and we might come to that eternal liturgy of thanksgiving around the Lamb, looking as if he has been slain. For Jesus himself thanked and glorified God on the night he was betrayed. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.